you don't know about this day, based on the photos, is that it was a disaster. Did not want to even go. So the first, if you throw that first one back up real fast, so this is at our old church building, right? We had just gotten out of the car, so mad, didn't even want to stand next to Damien. Standing there, like, if you breathe on me, I'm going to freak out. That's how bad it was. And so then if you go to the next one, like, had to physically climb up there and let him touch me. That's how mad I was. But you would never know, like, you look at that picture, like, oh, he's so romantic. I literally wanted to kill him. And so you couldn't just take him off. And so I tell you all that because sometimes my husband can be a jack wagon.
Jack
wagon. And I could really care less to be around him. And sometimes I don't want to be a mom. Usually about 9:30, I'm like, mom's done. I ask your dad, I'm done for the day. I'm not a mom anymore this day. See you in the morning. And so I want us to kind of, you know, come about where it's like, and no one is perfect. We're all adults. Something else you probably don't know about me, if you don't know me really well, looking from the outside in, is that I've spent most of my teen, youngest adult life not actually liking what I look like. Wanting to be thinner, wanting better hair, wanting whatever it is you want better. Not eating a portion of my adult, young adult life so I could be skinnier. And, you know, you would look at me and say, a lot of people, Amy does all the time, you're insane. But my point is that you don't know what's going on inside someone's heart or inside someone's mind. And from the outside, our outside appearance is not what matters. What matters is our inside appearance. And so just looking from the outside, everybody looks perfect, but no one is. Let's pray really fast. God, thank you again for this night and for being here already, moving in worship. God, we just feel your spirit in this place. And God, as we just open your word, I pray for the next couple minutes that your Holy Spirit would just move through these aisles and you would touch the hearts and the lives of the women in here. God, that you would change our hearts tonight to something that we have never been before. God, I pray, and I don't just say this, God, but I mean it. I pray that we walk out of here different when we came in this room. God, I pray that tonight that our lives are impacted in a way for you that they never have been before. And God, there's nothing that I'm going to say. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about being up here on the stage. But God, that it's something that you speak to the hearts of each person in this room and that you change us, God. That when we can sing that I adore you, that God, I really do adore you with all of my being. God, that's the kind of change that I pray over us tonight. So God, just be with us in the next few minutes. May my words, God, just be yours. Nothing of my own, God, just speak through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew 7 through 8. And I meant to get a Bible with bigger printing because apparently once you approach 40, I have a few more years before there, but once you're approaching 40, small print Bible, I have contacted. Small print Bibles are no longer really your friend. But I wanted to read it out of the Bible, not like just off the paper. So Matthew 7:7-8. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so that's kind of where I want to stay for a little while tonight, is those ideas of asking, knocking, seeking, finding. I'm going to really sit on two of them. And so the asking part, you know, that's the easy part, asking God. And so what are we asking? What are we asking God for? And I want you to see in that scripture that it says, what you ask shall be given. It doesn't say what you ask, it shall be lent to you or sold to you. It says what you ask. it shall be given to you. God gives us freely. Not, you know, we don't have to do anything for him in return. And so we're really going to focus on the knocking and the seeking. And so tonight, for knocking, my question to you is, how hard are you knocking? And so there's different types of knocking, right? So for my middle school girls in here, and you can pretend like your mom's not here if it's going to get you in trouble. Have you ever ding-dong-ditched? Who's ever ding-dong-ditched somebody? Oh, these girls are super proud. Okay, just like, yeah, I do it all the time. Stop me, girls. Don't ding-dong-ditch me. So any grown-up, any adult in here ever ding-dong-ditched? I was always afraid. I'm super chicken. Like, I don't do things to get in trouble. So, you know, ding-dong-ditch is like you knock on the door and you run so no one finds you. Or have you ever had to deliver something to someone's house and you really are hoping they're not home? And so you take whatever it might be, and you go and you like they can't even hear it. And so you just set it down. Like you're just lightly tapping, like, please don't be home, please don't. Or there is sometimes maybe where you're like desperately, you know, banging on the door, like someone's chasing you. Some axe murder, I don't know, chasing you. You're banging on someone's door to let you in. And so how hard are you knocking? Are you ding-dong-ditching? Are you lightly tapping, hoping that God won't hear you and won't see you, that you don't have to go out and do his will? Or are you banging on his door? Are you desperately knocking to hear God? And there may be seasons in our life where we're actually not knocking at all. You know, times where, you know, if you're in this room and you love Jesus, you know you love Jesus, that doesn't really change, but like knocking at his door is just something that you're not doing. Because we get up caught up in these times where it's like, I don't think we necessarily need to do them, but it's like, I don't need God right now, I got it, like everything's good. And we don't realize that, you know, knocking is something we need to do every day, not just when we get desperate. And so, I went to Guatemala this summer, you know that. And before I went, I was constantly knocking at that door, because here, you know, we're going to leave this team of teenagers to Guatemala in a foreign land, and we're praying transformation over their lives, and awesome things to happen. So it's like, you can't just be a group of teenagers somewhere and not be on your game, right? And so we did a lot of preparing before that, because I wanted to, you know, make sure I was spiritually on when I got there. And so, you know, that week was fantastic. I keep coming up with ways in my mind where I can get myself back there. And so I didn't have to, you know, I wasn't mom. Jake was there, but he's 16. You know, I don't need to, like, do anything for him. And, you know, I wasn't Jamie's wife or I wasn't a pastor's wife. It was so nice just to be a person there serving God, loving on people for a week. And then you come back, I come back, and you don't, moms don't get, like, a grace period. You know, it's like, you get 3 days, and then you get to be mom again. You step off the plane, and you are mom again, or you're a wife again. And so for the most of the summer was super busy, and I posted. Honestly, I prepared for what I needed to prepare for, and then my love for Jesus didn't waver, but my knocking did. I was like, not, but I knew, like, by the end of the summer, I knew it. You usually know it. I'm like, I'm totally off. You know, get my kids back to school so I can have some quiet time in my house, but I could feel it. And why is it, I've been asking myself as preparing for this message, like, why is it that we don't knock until we're desperate? Mm-hmm. Why is it that we let ourselves get there until we're like, God, I need you? Mm-hmm. And why is it that we don't see that we need him when everything is going right? And I think, but a lot of times, really, if we're being honest, it's like, I can pretty much do my life on my own. That's what we're saying. Like, I'm pretty much going to do this without you, God. I don't need you when it's desperate. That's really what we're saying. Mm-hmm. And you can see these examples through the Bible quite a bit about people who only knock when they're desperate. Take Jonah, for instance. You know, ran, didn't want to do the will of God, runs, gets swallowed up by a whale. It took him 3 days in the belly of the whale before he got desperate enough, right, to knock at God's door and say, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. Samson, another one, took him to the end of his life, really, but, you know, he lets Delilah lead him astray, but then not knocking on God's door that whole time, until he's standing there between tied two pillars, and he's knocking desperately at God's door, because now he needs him. You know, the great thing about God is, that he's God and he's gracious and he's sovereign. And, you know, in those two, it's like he lets him out, you know, gets him off the hook. I mean, stands him off his life. But I've just been asking, myself, why am I getting to the point of desperation before I'm knocking at the door? Mm-hmm. And then knocking then leads us to the seeking. And seeking is not easy. So I know I cannot be the only person in the room whose family cannot find anything. Right? I'm not the only one. Like, and it's inevitable for us on game day or in the morning when we need socks. That's why I hate winter, because everybody has to have socks. And they don't. Besides my boys, they keep their socks very neat. But my girl socks never match, so I'm so glad it's a thing, because... Well, I'm just fine to put them on. Hate the winter. Today, it's like, as much as I like being in layers, I know the bitter cold is coming and I want to cry. And so, every time, because, again, I'm not really an organized person, it is inevitable that we're searching for, like, uniform pieces on game day. And so, everyone, you know, we're in the laundry room, throwing out the clean clothes, looking for what we need, or they're in the upstairs dirty hall closet searching for what they need. And when we're done, it's like a war zone. You know, the house is a disaster, because seeking for stuff is work, which I think is why our families pretend to be bad at it. Like, right before I came tonight, Libby wanted this sweatshirt. I'm like, it's downstairs in the laundry basket right in front of the couch. Where is it? Downstairs in the laundry room. Mom, I can't find it. You've got to be kidding me. It is right where I told you it was. Every time, by the way, if you're mom in here, like, if you can't find it, then it probably really is lost. you have your house, like, you know where it is. So if I can't find it, then yeah, it's just probably lost. Sorry. You know, but you know when you're looking for that one thing, you have to have it. You know, like, you got to have your soccer shorts. And you come out after you're searching and you're sweating and you're mad, and sometimes you might want to cuss because you're so aggravated and it took you so long to find it. And so we have seek, because seeking is so fun, so much fun. But God says seek and it will be found. So what does seeking look like? And seeking to me, I think, really looks like a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Mm-hmm. And so have you ever really sought God in that capacity? I know I have not enough. I have a few times, but I definitely have not enough. And I've been asking, like, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to seek God every day? And a few things is because it's hard work, and it's messy, and it's kind of like working out. We started our new small group, and by this week, the second Zumba song, I was like, I'm sweating, I'm done. Like, I'm good. I burned some calories, I'm good. My heart rate's up, I'm good to go. If I'm sweating and breathing heavy, I'm like, whew, I'm done. And that's why I think when it comes to seeking God, that we don't do it well, because it's hard work. And it's something that we have to do every day. And honestly, I really believe, like, daily kind of to me means like a time slot of the day. Like, you know, I'll give you that from 6 to 7. But I really think it's like seeking, we need to be seeking every minute. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have time to not. Mm-hmm. I, as a mom, as a wife, I really don't have time to not seek God every minute. Mm-hmm. But there, you know, like I said, there are those times you're just coasting. Mm-hmm. We're always seeking for something. So what are you seeking for? Because what you seek out, you will find. Does not just apply to God. I think it's a principle for life. What you seek, you will find. And do we not live in a culture who we always want the next? We want the next job, we want the next car, we want the next outfit, we want, you know, the next whatever. It's always the next, 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 next. It's like, in our culture, it's like a drug. The next is like a drug. Even Disney is like the next big thing, right? The NBC, that's their thing. Like, who's the next big star? We're always looking for the next. And tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time in 1 Samuel 16 and take a look at that God is not looking for the next. God is looking for the new. Matthew 9:17 says, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. So God isn't looking for next. Next is like sloppy seconds, right? God is looking for new, a new mind, a new heart. Seeking God, really seeking Him every single day, every single minute, like we should be, recreates in us those new wineskins so He can use us as the vessel we want. If I'm not seeking God on a daily basis, how am I going to witness to anybody wherever I go? How am I going to speak to someone in the grocery store at my job? I didn't even seek God today. I'm not even listening to hear Him say what I need to do.
That's good.
And we tend as women, I mean, I think as human beings, but as women too, because we're always comparing ourselves to each other, to put us in this category of, you know, God's not looking to me, to use me category. I'm super good at it, you guys. I've been good at it for a long time. God's not looking to use me. Because we're always comparing, you know, I'm never good enough. Somebody else can do it better. And you might be right. Somebody else could probably do it better. Someone else could do this better than I could, without a doubt. To the world, I'm uneducated. I have one semester of college. I got married and became a mom. 19 married, mom 21. So I'm, you know, to the world, I'm uneducated, probably to do this. I mean, you would think, well, you don't have a degree to be up there talking to women. No, I don't need a degree to talk to women. Talk to women every day.
That's right.
But to, you know, to the world, I'm maybe I should have stayed in college. I'm uneducated. I shouldn't probably be up here. And someone could probably do it better than me. But God didn't call anyone to do it better than me. He called me to do this.
That's right.
And this isn't something I really wanted to. I wasn't looking to do this. I wasn't looking to be a pastor's wife. I wanted to be a youth pastor's wife. That is what I wanted to be, and I was going to be that my whole life. We were never going to be outside of the ministry. You know, Jamie would have that, and then we would move on and do something else with youth. And then here we are. So let's look real fast at 1 Samuel 16, 6-13. And this is the story of Samuel coming to David and anointing him as the new king. Verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel took one look. They're at Jesse's house. Okay, Samuel, God sent Samuel to Jesse's house to go and find an anointed king. So this is where we are. We're starting at 6. They arrived. Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shema, and Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he is out in the field watching for the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit and eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome. I don't really know why they keep saying they're good-looking guys, I guess, because they said it twice. And beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one anointing him. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took a flask of oil and brought that he had brought and anointed David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David powerfully that day. This story right here, I think, throws all of our excuses out the window. Nobody was looking for David. Not even his dad. Talk about having dad issues. Jesse showed Samuel all seven of his sons, completely forgetting that he had an eighth. Because, you know, he was a baby. Which, as moms in here, we don't forget our babies. Our babies are the babies, we don't forget that. For completely even not even recognizing that he had an eighth son. Nobody was looking for David. And what we do to ourselves is surely God does not have a call on my life. Surely God's not going to use me. Because, you know, what do I have to offer? But this tells us right here that God's not looking for the outside, on the outside. People look on the outside. Like I just said, you're right. I probably shouldn't be here. I have a degree to be here. From the outside, looking in, someone else could totally do this better than me. God's not calling anybody to do your job better than he's calling you to do it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't need your talents. God doesn't need my talents. Really, really, and don't feel sorry for me when I say this because it's the truth. I'm really not super talented at any one thing. I can do a lot of things like okay, but I'm not talented at like one thing. Like Katie Bowler, artist, right? Me, not. Lauren Tupper, she can knit circles around people. I'm not super talented at one thing. God's not looking for your talent. Because what I'm talented in, I don't really need him to do, right? I'm not needing him to stretch me in my talent. I already have the gift. I'm already talented. I'm really not talented to do this. I don't like it. I don't like being in front of crowds. I'd rather be sitting in the back row where nobody can see me. I'm really okay not talking to anyone. I can walk in here. You guys, you might even have it already in your mind. Every Sunday, Pastor Swipe didn't talk to me. And you're probably right. And I'm telling you right now, because I don't like it. And it's not you that I don't like. Being real, it's me. It makes me nervous. I don't like it. For those of you who don't know, I have a twin sister, and I always had a sidekick. I've always had a sidekick. I never had to do anything on my own. Me and my sister, everything together. I went from her to Jamie to four kids. Never had to do anything on my own. And so walking in this kind of setting, right, Christy? Christy doesn't like me either, so everybody talks to her. Walking into this kind of setting totally freaks me out. So I'm real bad at walking up to people I don't know. That's what I have Jamie for. It's a gift. It is not mine. Real bad at it. But, and as you can see in this story, nobody is looking for David. No, you're right. Nobody is looking for you. No human being is looking for you. God is looking for you. And what God wants to do is way more important than what people want to do. So am I, yes, is God calling me to do this? Yes. Do I need to stretch my wings a little bit and learn to talk to people? Absolutely. But that's why he has me here, and that's why he has you where he has you. He has you there for a purpose and a reason. And can I say that seeking God isn't for God? God already knows who God is. He knows. He needs you to know. He needs me to know. He needs to know. He needs me to know who he is. And when I'm seeking him, that's when I find out. I'm convinced that most of our issues, right, because 90% of the battle is where? In our head, that most of our issues come from the fact that we don't seek God. Not just us here. I mean, come on, it's our culture. Most of our issues of our culture is because they're not seeking God. Ephesians 6 tells us, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." You know, so if you're in this room tonight and you're having marriage issues, my question is, are you seeking God? Because Ephesians tells us that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the spirits of the air. So are you seeking God? Do you have self-esteem issues? I just told you I already do, right? Am I seeking God? Do you have relationship issues with someone else? Are you seeking God? Are you having problems with your kids? Are you seeking God? Whatever it is, ask yourself, am I seeking God? Am I seeking God? Because in the seeking and the battle and the war comes the finding. And the finding, right, is so sweet. How much fun is the finding? When you're looking for the one thing that's been lost forever and you find it. Do not feel like you've won a gold medal. Like, Lila has a wallet right now that's lost that has $35 in it. Whenever we find it, we're going to feel like we won the lottery. We have not found it for like 6 months. And I know it's in my house somewhere. Because in the seeking comes the finding. And in the finding, that's when we find out that we've already had Jesus all along. He's the prize. I don't know why we feel like we need to fill our lives with all these, fill our lives with the next. And why do we do that? We do it because it feels good, right, for a minute. Because then you need the next after that, and the next, and keep going. So it does feel good for a minute. But in finding, you realize that you find, like, Jesus is the prize. We already have him. So when you find it, when you know that, it's like, I don't need anything else. And I know Amy and I have talked about this before, and it seems so weird to think, and obviously almost don't want to say it out loud because I don't ever want it to happen. But, and Jamie said it the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to say it. When I know Jesus, when I find Jesus, I know that Jamie now, he's not my Savior. Mm-hmm. If Jamie died, heaven forbid, I don't want to die at the worm, but if he did, okay, like he's in heaven, right? We're so freaked out by losing our earthly possessions for some reason. And I think that's why we don't, like, that's why we're not seeking God. Mm-hmm. It's because we're so, we want to hold on to it all. I need to control it all. I can't let it go. You guys, God loves my family and me more than I do. So when I'm seeking him and I'm finding him, when I found him, I know, like, if something's going on with Jamie, God, he's going to let me know, right? Or if something does happen to him, God loves me more than, like, he's going to take care of me better than Jamie would. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know why we get so freaked out about that. You know, because just the unknown, I guess. But in the finding, you find out who you are. Mm-hmm. You find peace. You find rest. You find your voice. You find your confidence. You find grace. You find your fulfilling. You find your calling. You find God in the finding. And yes, the seeking looks like a battle, and it is a battle, and it's every day. But finding God is every day, too. It's not like you're seeking. I mean, you know, I feel like this week of preparing for this message, I prepare by mowing the grass. Honestly, I know it sounds funny, but it takes 2.5 hours to mow our grass. And so a lot of times I'll just put on my music and, you know, try to think about what through. But when I'm thinking, normally when I speak, it's like I'm speaking this to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is definitely something God's working on me, through me. And that's why I felt so strong to share it tonight, because I know it's not just for me. Mm-hmm. We all need to seek God and find him. And so, I really don't know where I was going with that at all. I know it's not the grass to find God. It's fabulous. I know it's okay. Seriously, I'm like not even playing. And I can tell in the last couple, like, I'm so much more confident, not in myself. Mm-hmm. I just told you, I'm a disaster, you guys. I'm not even lying. Like, I'm terrible at folding the laundry and putting it away. I'm just, so it's not me. Like, there's nothing special about me. Like, literally, there's nothing special about me. But I have had so much more confidence in myself these last couple weeks, and it's not coming from, I can't muster that up. Mm-hmm. I can't muster. I already told you, I don't even like myself, really. I don't know. Like, there's so many things about me I would change. But I see my attitude towards my husband and towards my kids and just towards my life. It has been so different these last couple of weeks because I've been having to seek God for today.
That's good.
Because I can't stand up here on my own, you know. And we've had our Wednesday Bible study. It's funny, like, I don't really know Leanne Walsh. She's in here somewhere. And so we're sitting across from her, and she knows the Bible way better than I do. Like, it puts me to shame. I'm not even lying. But she's probably, like, a real studier. I don't like to study. I don't like to study. And so I, like, just even on Wednesdays, I'm like, gosh, there's no way I should be up there on Friday night speaking for a week while I don't really know what I'm talking about. Just don't even know. But here God has me, and I'm seeking, and I'm finding, and he's using that in my life. And it's been so good for me these last couple of weeks. Being able to come up. And that's why I felt so strong to share that scripture, because as women, again, it's like we have to put everything together. We try so hard to hold it together. And, you know, if you're really OCD in here, if one thing rattles you, you're like a, you know, you lose your mind. And God wants us so bad to put all of that in him. Put it in him. The things of this world are fading away. You can see it every day. Things in this world are fading away. They will not last. They will not last. My husband, my family, they could be taken from me tomorrow. They're not going to last. They won't. My relationship with God is the only thing that's going to last, and I'm the one that has to be accountable for that. I'm going to stand before God one day. He's not going to say, oh my gosh, your husband was a pastor. You go through the pearly gates because your husband was way too cool. Not going to happen. First of all, you're not going to say he's way too cool. Not going to happen. I am responsible for my own life. I am responsible for my relationship with God. You guys are responsible for your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus. The asking, the knocking, the seeking, and the finding, it's up to you. Nobody can do it for you. My middle schoolers in this room, you guys hear it every Wednesday from us, but nobody can do that for you. Your mom and dad cannot make you love Jesus. No one can do it. It is completely up to you. And so the more I seek God, the more I have faith in Him over my own abilities. Because my abilities really lack. And so I need Jesus. I want you guys to go ahead and stand tonight. The one thing I have to explain is the vase in the picture. It does have a meaning behind it. And so, yes, as women, we need to be unraveled as people and let God have control instead of trying to control it. Because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. There is no way that you can control your life on your own. You might pull it off for a while, and people might believe it. You might, fake some people out that you have it all together. And I can't do it without Jesus. I don't know how people do it if they don't do it, but it's like, I can't do it without Jesus. But the vase in the picture, and you can see there's a little light shining through, and as much as we need to be unraveled, that vase symbolizes the crack, and that if we're not cracked and we're not broken before God, the light will never shine through. And so for us to try to hold it all together, God's light can't shine through that. If you look all through the Bible, my gosh, He uses broken people all the time. Moses stuttered, the woman at the well, nobody was looking for the woman at the well, same thing. Nobody was coming to find her. Nobody cared about her life. She was a mess. But Jesus cared. Jesus was there. Jesus went on His way to find him. And so you're right. Nobody tonight might be looking for you. Nobody's coming out and seeking you out and saying, oh my gosh, you have this great talent. I need to have it. But God is. God is calling you out. God is calling you out for a plan and for a purpose, and He has something real to do in your life. And you might see, you might think it's so minuscule. I think my life's minuscule all the time, like especially when my kids were little. It's like, oh yeah, I get to clean house and change diapers every day. This is so much fun. And it's like I felt so lonely in that time and so just unused. But even in that, God is using you every day. But if you're not seeking Him out, you're not even going to know it. You won't know it. So these next couple minutes, I want you, we have journals. Can we turn the lights down? Maybe? Spread out and just find a place. We have people, if you're on the prayer team, if you want to come up. We have people in place if you want prayer, if you need prayer. But other than that, I just want to challenge you to get in a spot off on your own. And just really seek God for the next couple minutes. Some of us, we might not have been knocking at God's door, seeking God in a while. And just let's sit and just soak in His time and His presence. But if you do want prayer, we have people in place that if you really want prayer, if you need prayer, we are up here and more than welcome, more than happy to pray with you. So just take this time. Along with God. Jot some stuff down. If you feel like He's speaking to your heart, jot it down. Maybe write some ways that you can practically put into place in your life and seeking God over the next, the course of the next few days. Let me pray real fast. God, thank you so much for this time. God, I pray over the next few minutes that your Holy Spirit would just move in this place. God, and for some of us in here that we're just coasting along, But God, our love for you really hasn't wavered. We believe in Jesus. We know, we know that we're a Christian. We call ourselves a Christian, but really, we've just been coasting through our days. Not knocking at your door, God, not asking, not seeking. And God, when we read a scripture like Matthew 7, it seems so silly to not ask and knock and seek. We say, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find. But God, sometimes in that, the work just seems to be like it just overloads us. So God, in the next few minutes, I just pray that if it seems like a burden to knock at your door and to seek your face, God, that that will be lifted. And that we can really find you tonight, God, that we can walk out of this place knowing that God, in the seeking and the knocking, is the finding. God, it's finding who we are in you. It's finding how much you love us and adore us. God, it's finding our confidence, it's finding our voice, it's finding our purpose in life. God, I just give you these next few minutes, and I just pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts and the lives.